Song before, it's because they use the same beat for every song. It's the same beat for every song. And do they ever get tired of it? My God. It's like, this is the hip-hop version, so you're going to have some sort of drum beat going. Replace the drum beat with accordion music, and you have every other Mexican song ever created. No offense or anything. It was actually a meme for a while. I used to only ever listen to the Hispanic radio stations because they are upbeat. I do actually like the polka style Tejano music more than a lot of what's played on the internet or on the radio these days. Rather, let's stick with the whole white replacement thing, shall we? Let's go with that for a little longer. Let's go to clip number 14 here. This is American Representative Gene Wu, Democrat, going mask off and just saying what we know they've been thinking the entire time. Representative Gene Wu, everybody.
I always tell people the day the Latino, African-American, Asian, and other communities realize that they share the same oppressor is the day we start winning. Because we are the majority in this country now. We have the ability to take over this country and to do what is needed for everyone and to make things fair. But the problem is our communities are divided. They're completely divided. And I talk about.
Okay, so do we need to read between the lines on this? He's like, you know, African-Americans, Latinos, obviously he's including himself in that, Asians. Just say non-white. Just say here. Let me just be easier for you, Gene, Mr. Wu. Just say white people need to be killed by non-white people. Just say all non-white people need to unify to oppose white people, because that's frankly what it's going to take, you guys. I mean, I know white people are only like 7% of the world's population. I know that we are not the majority by any stretch of the imagination on a global scale, and that's how these people are operating. So the whole idea that white people alone need to be teamed up against by all the other races, like, I guess that's kind of true. Gee, kind of embarrassing for you guys, but good luck with all that. The problem is white people refuse to see themselves as participants in this game of death. And so they're not participating or playing or still winning to a certain degree. But like, man, could you imagine white people had even a percentage of the ethnic, you know, concern that these people have? If we did, Gene Wu would still be in China, because I believe he was adopted by a white American couple. What is it about non-white people being adopted by white couples when white parents sacrifice their entire lives to, you know, give some, you know, poor Chinese kid a chance in America, and his repayment for all of that, you know, love and generosity is to basically declare a war on them and say, we're conquering and destroying you. It's sort of symbolic. It's kind of a microcosm of world history to a large degree. And I don't know why we are expected to take this or sit here and act like what he just said was even remotely acceptable, let alone like correct. Remember, this comes as today, Monday, the February 9th, there are still headlines in the front page. I saw one of the top stories on Google News today was about Donald Trump tweeting a meme showing the Obamas as apes. Okay, so Trump accidentally tweets out and like doesn't really watch the video, but it's got Obama and his husband as monkeys. And that's we're still talking about it 4 days later. Gene Wu, just in no uncertain terms, is like, oh, all the non-whites should rise up and kill the oppressors, the white people. And we're supposed to think that these two things are even comparable? No, you people are genocidal and need to be stopped by force.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Spin, no surrender. All right, let's go. This is Harrison Smith on the War Room with live streams firing on X and band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room on our adventure across the globe. That was great, guys. Welcome back, folks. We're going to talk about Epstein now. Oh, yeah, we're going to do it. Let's get into it. And let's get into it by first going back in time, traveling back nearly a decade to October 2017, when myself and Rob Dew were on the streets of New York City going around interviewing people about random stuff. The whole live stream is about 2 hours long, but I clipped a segment of it, and I have been looking for this for a very long time, but if there's one thing you should know about me, it's that I have archives that are unmanageable. Frankly, they're too big. I keep everything. I keep absolutely everything double copied, backed up, stored. So I went into my archives this weekend and I dug through the just infinite amount of content that we produce for you fine folks here at InfoWars, and I went all the way back to 2017 and I found the clip 13 here, on October 25th, 2017, Rob Dew, who you can follow at Dew's News, and I went there in Times Square and talked about elite pedophilia in a way that wouldn't become commonplace until about 2 weeks ago when the Epstein files released. But here's Rob Dew showing that we were, I mean, beyond on the ball, beyond tip of the spear. Here's us a decade ago laying out the reality about how the world operates in a way that people are just now finally coming to terms with. Let's watch.
There's a lot of reports in Hollywood that there's major pedophilia going on, where these producers are going after little kids. And that's, oh yeah, man, like it gets deep. Look, this guy's shaking his head. He knows what I'm talking about. It gets deep. Sex slavery is one part of it. The other part is preying on little kids in the entertainment industry. And then there's, but it also, it's in government too. It's ingrained in these institutions. Go look up on your internet that you've had, hold on, let me finish this point. The Franklin cover-up, all right? That's about what goes on in politics, not even in entertainment. So back in the 1980s, and this is in with the Republicans too, so people always like, bitch about Democrats, the Republicans are equally as guilty of this stuff. These guys, when they get high up in power, to go to the next weird power thing.
Ew.
But you go look up the Franklin cover-up, it was written by a state senator from Nebraska, where they were getting kids out of a Nebraska boys' home and flying them to parties in D.C., okay?
That's disgusting.
Totally disgusting. But that's who runs the world. That's who runs these. And it happened in the U.K. There was a famous TV. What's the TV guy's name? Jimmy Savile. This guy was on TV. He was like a personality on TV doing music shows. This guy went into hospitals and would rape dead bodies. All right? And he was hanging out, and he was hanging out with the king and queen. All right? That's how crazy it is. It goes all the way up. And that's why I'm at this group InfoWars. That's not the only thing we talk about, but that's one of the things we try to bring to light to people. Like, and it's a lot bigger than you know, whether we could smoke weed in the streets.
Why I say that is because when you try to fight to pass laws to make the legal age for a girl 17 now, you're setting pedophiles' eyes legally preying on
minors.
Right, immediately. They can wait for the legal age.
They want to make it 13 in some countries.
Oh, my.
Which they would. I got a daughter that's 13. Try it.
Yeah,
be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive.
So there you go, folks. Tomorrow's News Today, next decade's News Today, talking about the royal family being involved, the UK being involved up to their ears, the Republicans being involved, not just Democrats. And this was in 2017, around the time that the Harvey Weinstein case was being exposed and the Me Too movement had like just started going and people were still, you know, finding out about this stuff. And we were there on the ground informing and educating people on a one-to-one basis. But of course, thousands of people were watching us and being exposed to this information all along. So again, if this all is a surprise to you, if this is all shocking and horrifying, it should be good. It is all as bad as it seems. But don't think that nobody knew about this. We all knew about it. And like I've said over and over for things like COVID, this is part of the reason why it's important that InfoWars be here and be able to talk about this stuff, because it would be easy for them to act like we're all just learning this all at the same time. Oh my God, nobody had any idea. But now that these files are coming out, now we're learning. It's like, okay, well then how do I have that video from a decade ago? How do I have that video from a decade ago if we're all just learning this all of the sudden? I mean, this is why I would say it all the time with COVID, because at the time we were going, if you shut down the economy, you're going to have all these negative outcomes and it's not going to stop the virus. And of course, it proves that we are right. But in retrospect, they go back and go, well, we thought we were doing the right thing. We certainly believed that this was the right course of action, but it's ridiculous because we were there the whole time exposing the reality. So how do we know if you didn't? Of course they knew. They all know. They know, we know, we just tell you they don't. It's not that complicated. So we weren't the only ones knowing about how things operated beforehand. And this has been kind of darkly funny for me. Not even that funny. Funny might not be the right word for it, but people have been posting this skit. And it's a skit from Trevor Moore, who in the Whitest Kids You Know. Now, Trevor Moore died during COVID in very suspicious circumstances. But he's the dude that was very aware of what was going on. He was very red-pilled, and yet they were funny enough that they got these, you know, Hollywood shows, and they're on, you know, they're fairly popular in the mainstream, but they would make, I mean, he's done skits where he's talking about 9/11 being an inside job, and I mean, tons of crazy stuff. So then this skit they made exposing as a joke what we all now know to be actually true, because they also knew it was true. But the funny thing about it, or the sort of the weird thing about it, is that people are posting this and going, see, they have to tell you what they're really doing. And it's like, no, guys, the Whitest Kids You Know and Trevor Moore are not in the elite who are doing some sort of revelation of the method for you. No, they're making fun of the elite in a way that exposes the real way that our world functions. So it's weird to me that people don't know who this guy is. They don't know who Trevor Moore is. He died like less than 5 years ago, and he was an amazing info warrior in his own way. And so it's kind of sad to me that people see this and go, oh, they're revealing the mess. No, this guy was like a hero and probably died because he refused to stop exposing what he knew was going on from the inside, being around the Hollywood types. So let's go to the skit that people have been posting, clip 29, skit by comedian Trevor Moore, who was exposing to you what the reality is, not trying to pull one over on you, just so we're clear of what the point of this skit is. Let's go to it.
This is a cool office. I like the little fire things over there and everything.
Hi, we're the... Oh. Hi, we're the Illuminati.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. So we heard about your big special. We are very excited.
Yeah, thanks. Me too.
Yeah, but before you can do a special on a major cable network, we're going to need you to sign some things.
Okay, sounds good.
We're also going to need you to swear a blood oath to us and our cause. And if you violate this oath, we're going to murder you and everyone that you love.
Got it. Great.
You'll also need to pledge your soul to Baphomet. He's this god that we all worship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He looks pretty cool. He's like a crazy goat man kind of thing.
Now, we will need you to include some of our messaging in your program.
Oh, okay. So you mean like there's going to be a commercial sponsor or something?
No. Nothing tacky like that. No. We just want you to have some, you know, self-destructive themes. You know, like we use a lot of hip-hop artists to glorify violence and drugs, pop stars to push materialism, country acts to instill suspicion of education.
Oh, okay. That sounds cool.
We'll also need to film you in a lewd act with a minor to use as blackmail if you ever think of telling anyone about anything that happened here today.
Now, could I self-tape that, or is that something that you'd want me to shoot here?
We'd like you to do that here.
Yeah. Well, finally, we're going to need a suicide note in your own handwriting, just in case things get crazy.
I actually might have an old one on me. I'm sort of a pack rat.
I think we're good. Trevor, do you have any questions for us?
Yeah. Who killed Kennedy?
A French sniper, but it was set up by Lyndon Johnson.
You're right. Sorry, that was a stupid question.
A French sniper. But that's but for real though. But it turns out actually though, but that's actually how it works. Only instead of like cool robes and like, you know, menacing atmosphere, it's just like a dental chair and like a fat investment banker. It's not as glamorous. It's not quite as like glamorous and mysterious as we've been led to believe from the Eyes Wide Shut type portrayal of these networks. No, it's a lot more sultry. It's a lot more grimy than that, might be a good way to put it. Now, some of the things revealed from Jeffrey Epstein in the last little while are pretty interesting. Let's go through some of them, shall we? From Republic Apostle on X. Why was Jeffrey Epstein casually texting about going into a skiff on July 6th, 2018? In this particular PDF from the Epstein files, Epstein tells a redacted contact that he's entering a skiff, which is a sensitive compartment information facility, a classified intel room, which needs security clearance, the next day for a talk. The associate replies, always the best kind. Skiff access for a convicted sex offender with zero official government role post-2008. This screams intel cutout slash asset status. Who cleared him? What was discussed amid Trump chaos, Mueller probe, European populist wave? The same night, a redacted contact, strong deduction is that it's likely Steve Bannon, texts, dude, if only I could, I'm heading to Rome in the morning to meet Salvini. Epstein geeks out. The intel here is superb. Repeated, probe strategy on the coup. Redacted says, I'm deep in the middle of. Timing, exact day Bannon met Salvini in Rome to recruit him to, quote, the movement, far-right EU alliance, Salvini, Orban, Le Pen, Farage. Epstein got internal briefings on Salvini, Orban, joked about Bannon, quote, sitting on Salvini's lap, offered his plane. Bannon as messenger, delivering superb intel back to Epstein's network, blending Trump orbit, European disruption, possible foreign influence ops. Why skiff the next day? Briefing on foreign populist plays, compromat, geopolitical leverage, official narrative, Epstein equals lone financier slash trafficker. The reality is that the skiff entry plus real-time Salvini coup intel plus Bannon text coordination shred that claim. Pattern fits intel embeds, not coincidence. Who facilitated the skiff? What else is buried in these drops? And so this is all in response to him saying, I'm going into a skiff tomorrow. Now, skiffs are not, you know, it's not the United States government are not the only people that would use skiffs or that type of setup. It basically just means a room that is shielded from outside observation and you're not allowed to take any communication networks inside. So it's likely that he was talking about in America. It could also be a skiff for a foreign state, or it could be a skiff for, you know, corporation. I imagine Lockheed Martin has a skiff of its own. If I wouldn't be, you know, I don't think I'd be going out of line saying something like that. But that's just one of the revelations that, again, hint to a wider role in the intelligence community than previously admitted. Meanwhile, from War Monitors on X, FBI document found in Epstein's files discusses how a decoy dead body was used after Epstein supposedly died. So this would be in contradiction to what we were supposing last week, that it could have perhaps been Hillary Clinton's brother, who died a month before Jeffrey Epstein, whose body was swapped with him. That was some we were speculating about last week, and that's still a potential. But this is what this one says. Upon arriving at the MCC, blank completed tasks before blank assigned him to the hospital on Park Row, which is separated from the main MCC building and where Epstein's body was being guarded. When blank arrived at the hospital with case management coordinator blank, who was responsible for taking Epstein's fingerprints, COs blank and blank were with Epstein's body and had secured the scene. Blank remained with COs blank and blank until personnel from the office of chief medical examiner arrived to transport Epstein to their facility. Due to the large news media presence outside the MCC, a male OCME official called and said they would be arriving at the loading dock with a black vehicle in order to thwart the media. Blank and blank and blank used boxes and sheets to create what appeared to be a human body, which was put into the white OCME vehicle, which the press followed, allowing the black people, the black vehicle to depart unnoticed with Epstein's body. So a little bit suspicious there, you might say. Not exactly, you know, a red-handed smoking gun admission that they had, you know, swapped the real body with the fake one necessarily, but an admission that they did in fact perform some trickery, some sleight of hand in order to manipulate the press into not adequately following the right body. Those are names, references in the, what was it? What was that image? Because they all looked like Epstein. It's like in a weird way, their faces like blend together. I don't know. I thought maybe there was like AI manipulation. Why do they all look exactly the same? It's kind of crazy, actually. Right? From like the third row down, I'm not convinced that we're not seeing doubles here. They all look very, very similar. Or at least they all have exactly the same. They're all making exactly the same face. Is this created with AI, maybe? That doesn't look like Kevin Spacey, and that picture of Epstein looks a little wonky. Anyway. Yeah, there's a lot of people mentioned. Here's another one. Pretty interesting stuff. Hey, look, I caught Jeffrey Epstein being a middleman to set up a discreet meeting with Hillary Clinton. So somebody asks, can you organize a discreet meeting between Sarko and Hillary Clinton in New York? If not, who should we ask? And Epstein responds, meeting with Hillary not easily discreet. When? Although I don't know, that could be the other way around. Could be Epstein first asking, and then this Colom Olivier person responding, meetings with Hillary are not easily discreet when. Regardless, Epstein is there helping to coordinate the quote-unquote discreet meeting with Hillary Clinton. Now, this is a very disturbing revelation, maybe the most disturbing we've seen so far. On exactly the same day that the FBI opened a child sex trafficking case against Epstein in 2018, he ordered half a dozen 55-gallon containers full of sulfuric acid to his private island. It could be a coincidence, but what are the odds? On the same day? Was he tipped off? Yeah, I think he may have been. So literally on the 6th of December 2018, the FBI initiated a child sex trafficking case, and on that very day is a work order, an order for six 55-gallon drum sulfuric acid with fuel and insurance charge for transport. I wonder what he was doing with sulfuric acid. Of course, if you're a fan of something like Breaking Bad, you're probably not wondering, because sulfuric acid is well known as a chemical that you can use to completely dissolve a body, meaning bones and everything disappear. By the way, Epstein also lived on an island with the ocean surrounding him. They use hydrofluoric acid. But the whatever acid the Epstein ordered does the same stuff. Sulfuric acid does very much the same. Meanwhile, Epstein footage wiped by prison warden. This document states that the prison camera system malfunctioned shortly before Epstein's death and was not fixed. After Epstein died, they immediately wiped all footage and repaired the system because it needed to run. This is highly suspicious and contradictory. When an incident occurs, as you would expect them to check whether any drive actually contained data, they didn't know. They assumed. Redacted advised that only one hard drive of the camera system was working at the time of the incident on August 10th, 2019, when a DVR went bad. None of the cameras recorded. There was a system failure of DVR-2 on July 19th, 2019, and the motherboard failed on DVR-2 on August 8th, 2019. The hard drive failure occurred on August 10th, 2019. After the incident, Redacted was asked about the cameras. There were two brand new hard drives to install, but installing the new hard drives would mean that all prior data would be lost. The warden wanted video, and so Redacted told him to start working on the system. Redacted started removing the bad drives in order to rebuild the DVR. Redacted advised that an FBI agent was the one who pulled out the DVR. Redacted also advised that he knew that by replacing both hard drives, the system would be wiped, and that he had advised personnel at MCC of that. Not to be a conspiracy theorist, but that sounds like a cover story. Yeah, it does. But what they've admitted here is that an FBI agent was the one who removed the DVRs from the jail where Jeffrey Epstein supposedly killed himself. So is it all starting to become clear? Because it's not all that complicated. Let's go to clip number 20 here. This is top streamer Asmongold, where he identified the word jerky as some sort of code, probably for eating little kids. Let's watch. This is clip 20.
Hope you are feeling better. Did we analyze the jerky? Why didn't we get jerky this week? I also added more to the jerky and ginger lemongrass. Thank you so much. Super cool. Beef jerky. Delicious. JoJo is here and we'll walk the jerky over to Jeffrey. We'll walk the jerky over to Jeffrey.
Why would jerky walk around?
Why would it do that? Delicious lunch. Beef jerky. Mmm. Steve and I are very grateful above all for your friendship. Some of these emails are so wholesome, aren't they? It's too bad they eat kids. A small insulated bag would be fine. I don't ruin checking it. No need for crazy amounts of ice. One should do. There is one bag of beef jerky in the fridge. Please get it. Also, blank has more at her place. Please get it from her as well. I suppose it needs to be in a cold, insulated bag. Just wanted to touch base about jerky. J.E. said he was going to start eating regular food again, so he might be eating less jerky. He said he has six bags of it in the downstairs freezer. Why would you freeze jerky? Steve needs a 6 to 8 ounce portion of jerky. I gave you all the jerky we had, and it lasted only half the amount of time it was meant to. I felt like it was more important for you to have the jerky to eat during my time off. My plan is to make a batch before I leave for LSJ, and some of that will go to Steve, and the rest will go to you at LSJ when I arrive. Little St. James Island. That's what LSJ must mean. So logically, that means that they were doing this off of the island. Steve Hansen is sending jerky to your attention overnight. I believe it should be enough to get him through. Jeffrey Epstein is asking to bring him more jerky. I'm flying in on Friday. I will bring jerky. Is there a time I could come say hi and drop off the beef jerky? And that's from Jeffrey Epstein. Francis has time to come tomorrow. Show me how to make it. Jerky class anyone. He will bring you to taste his new jerky recipe from the restaurant. He sends a warm hello. He's working at a restaurant called guys, the restaurant's called Cannibal and Cooks. Wait for it. Beef jerky and steak. Can blank make some jerky? I think we should landscape all around the house to use the water if possible. If the main house is not enough. Are there any recorded images of Jeffrey Epstein with beef jerky at all? No, there are no recorded or publicly known images of Jeff Epstein with beef jerky. Who sent?
Yeah, people are saying it's code for adrenochrome. Could be. We'll be right back with Captain Undergod, and we're going to talk about weather manipulation.
RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
The stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown.
That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game-changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. The stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow,
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary, it's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up, so I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff, so thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Guest Undergotten. He goes by Undergotten or Captain Undergotten on X. And we're going to talk about weather control systems, permanent, persistent weather control systems, which are beyond just creating storms at random, but rather an electronic grid by which they manipulate the flow of the atmosphere continuously. He's made some very interesting discoveries, and I'm very excited to talk to him about that. But just like elite pedophilia, you know, chemtrails would be another one of these things. Although chemtrails is, I guess it is kind of like pedophilia, because I was going to say, it's almost like everybody is just accepted now with the Epstein files, like everybody gets it, elite pedophilia, right? If you're paying attention at all, if you're not totally willfully ignorant, then you get that InfoWars has been right the entire time. chemtrails is kind of the same thing, where like they basically admit it now. You can find, you know, guys going on podcasts and describing the companies they run where they're cloud seeding or spraying chemtrails. But like people still think it's ridiculous. I still see memes that are like, yeah, right, next you're going to believe in chemtrails. And it's like, what? No, they're real. What? You guys are still pretending like this isn't real? Of course it's real. And so I was going to say it's different than the pedophilia thing, because now that the pedophilia thing's come out, everybody's just accepting it pretty much. You're not going to see a lot of memes with people going, oh, yeah, next you're going to be telling me that there's an elite pedophile ring. It's like, well, yeah, there is. Chemtrails, they're like still trying to pretend like this is a conspiracy theory. It's just not. And whether it's chemtrails or electromagnetic manipulation, we have been able to control the weather for a very long time. And people are just coming around to realizing this. Captain Undergotten is himself actually figuring out how this all operates. I understand we're joined by him now. You can follow Captain Undergotten at Undergotten. That's UNDERGOTTEN on X. Undergotten. He's an educator, woodworker, a poster of government and university data, and an unimpeachable adherent to the scientific method. Captain Undergotten, welcome to the show, sir.
Good to be here. Thank you, Harrison.
Very good to have you. And I know I have a couple videos of yours, so I was going to go to one of those. I don't know if you want to go to a video and explain it, or if you just want to start by sort of laying out for the audience what you've discovered, what your working theory is. Do you want to go to one of the videos, or you want to just break it down for us here?
I think that pinned video I showed you would do a better job than I can by myself.
All right, which one's that? What's the learn about radar? Okay, good. That's the one I was going to go to anyway. All right, this is from Captain Undergotten. It's pinned on his account, so you can find it on X at Undergotten. Here is his little introduction about radar. Let's watch.
Okay, these are NEXRAD Doppler radar bases. There are about 170 of these scattered about the country, but these eight are of particular interest, and I'm going to show you why. This is the data from each individual radar base compiled as a mosaic. We're looking at a clip from a time lapse I took in February of 2025, showing about 12 hours of radar data. And as you can see, there are all kinds of wild-looking microwave beams firing off of the radar bases, which the National Weather Service will tell you doesn't mean anything at all. But if we trace out the beams, which you can see me doing here, from the radar bases which most often produce them, we find a grid is revealed. Along this grid, spirals repeatedly occur in the same locations like a piece of 1990s computer software. It's the very definition of the difference between natural and man-made. Random and unpredictable weather on planet Earth cannot possibly occur with this regularity and in the same locations without human intervention. If it were this simple to predict the weather, you would have learned about it in kindergarten. What you are looking at here are clouds conforming to Euclidean geometry, geometry not found in nature. Do with that information what you will.
So there you go. That is, again, pinned on Captain Undergotten's account at Undergotten on X. It's pretty interesting stuff. I mean, it's hard to watch that video once you lay the lines down. I mean, you watch the video of the radar, you don't really see anything. Then you lay the lines down. It's pretty undeniable. There are certain swirls around these particular nexus points. How did you discover this? What got you going down this road in the first place?
So I'm kind of a student of Dane Wigington. I saw him actually on Alex's show a couple of times, last year, and he shows this video of radar bases pushing Hurricane Helen, into her target. And, I've only seen videos from him and others of just the radar data. So what I've done here to kind of try to prove it is I've got four different layers of radar, and I'm overlaying them over the satellite image. So you can clearly see that it's not an anomaly like the Weather Service will always claim, you know, oh, that was just an anomaly on the radar data. Well, no, you can see it in the clouds, too. Everything the radar's showing, the clouds match right up. So you've got a picture from space and you've got the radar data from the ground.
And so that was maybe your first hint that they were lying about something.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of a radio hobbyist too, and I've seen explanations of what those beams mean, and they don't satisfy. Everything's like, oh, it's trees. Oh, it's birds. It's bats. It's they. And, you know, they've got multiple different explanations on the National Weather Service's websites, too, that, you know, none of them jive with each other. It's like, it's not even an anomaly. It's a thing that keeps happening constantly in the exact same places. It's the opposite of an anomaly, you know? So, I don't know. I just had a kind of a epiphany that, well, what if it's, let's trace those lines out and see what they do. And then, yeah, I got a lot more than just spirals to show you there. if you could, I've got another video. It got pretty big. It's got like 4 million hits.
Oh, wow.
It's I think it's the third one I sent. It says Arctic Blasts.
Arctic Blast. Guys, if we can find that one. I have the highlights of some of the best examples of geoengineering recorded on the Sunday Weekly Weather Warcast. I guess, do you have any theory of how exact, is this the video? Okay?
That's a long one. I won't make you watch that whole thing. I just wanted to show you the beginning of that one, where you can see them producing clouds from the ground.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We have that one too. Can you tell me, so we know of a couple methods that they use, right? There's cloud seeding, obviously, or chemtrails strategic aerosol injections is another code word they use for it, but that's planes, you know, spraying particles, the water molecules attract to the particles and it can cause rain. We've known about that one for a while. I'm sure there's a method you could do to get rid of clouds as well through that. Then there's things like HARP, which again, people are like, you think HARP controls the weather? Well, it was built to control the weather. Like, that's why they built it. It was heating up the ionosphere in order to manipulate pressure flow. So if you can heat up the ionosphere, you create a low pressure system there. And, you know, everything, obviously, nature abhors a vacuum and it swoops in to try to fill that up. What are the radar systems that you've identified? What do you think they're doing? Is it something like that, ionospheric heating up?
It's exactly the same thing as HARP. In fact, so this predates HARP. You know, they've been using radar for, you know, since what, 30s, 20s. You know, it's as old as radio itself. You know, it's
right.
But the HARP thing really is just a testing facility. It is what they say it is. That's where they can teach people how to use this radar system. And the radar thing was always for this. This is as near as I can tell, because they're controlling the whole jet stream. I mean, I do this weekly weather warcast every Sunday, which is just 2 minutes where I show the previous week and what the weather did. And it is week after week lining up with this grid, which is what the Arctic Blasts video is, just a compilation of a few weeks worth of that data. If you want to see that, it's pretty much how they make winter happen.
Hmm. Well, and obviously there are some, you know, natural weather occurrences that have existed forever, right? The, you know,
they didn't reinvent the wheel here. They're using natural processes, but they're manipulating the whole thing. Like there's 100 different ways that they're making clouds, not just spraying them in the sky. There's tons of stuff happening on the ground that I don't really focus on too much because this radar thing alone takes up like all my free time and is the most fascinating bit to me.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's pretty undeniable when you actually just watch the videos. We're watching it here on screen. It's pretty undeniable that clearly something is happening. There are these certain places that this occurs. And it's always been a little bit confusing to me because the weather system is sort of a closed system. It's not like you can create a high pressure, you know, atmosphere over here and nowhere else is affected. Like, it seems like a closed system where affecting anything would affect everything. So how are they carrying out these control operations? Like, how are they maintaining control of the weather systems?
It must be worldwide.
That's what I'm trying to get at, is like, are they controlling worldwide?
Looking at the Epstein stuff, I think we've got a global government de facto. That's, you know, pretty apparent, isn't it?
Yes, I'd say it. It certainly is. But what would be the purpose of this? Just maintaining weather system, continuity. Well, so we aren't surprised by a big storm that could wipe out crops or something. Like, what do you think the argument is for the people actually doing this? Like, what are they telling, you know, the people that they're doing?
Well, there's the global warming whole scam, right? There, you know, that I mean, that's a good excuse. If you tell people, oh, it's global warming happening, they might go along with this, you know, and then they're maybe thinking they're doing a benevolent thing by helping out cloud seeding and whatever. But I mean, in actuality, it's just like everything they do. It's all about control. You know, I mean, you can engineer winter down here in the lower 48 states. And even though it was actually supposed to be an extremely mild winter, like 60 degrees this year, instead, they've been funneling Arctic air down for weeks and weeks and weeks. And now all the heating bills stay on. And all the, you know, they can manipulate, you know, gas trading prices. They can, there's tons of stuff that's affected by the weather. And, you know, these are the guys that love manipulating the stock market. So why would they not want this?
Yeah, it makes sense. And there have just been a couple instances over the last couple of years that it's like, this has never happened before. I'm thinking, of course, of the, you know, big hurricane. Was that Helen? Maybe that's the one you were talking about where it just, I mean, the fact that it went up through Appalachia and flooded these places in like North Carolina that have never been subjected to a hurricane swell ever, but, and they were completely wiped out. And it was like, how did this even occur? I mean, have there been things like that that have stood out to you as like, this is clearly an abnormal, unnatural storm?
I mean, I'm watching it every week the way, if you wouldn't mind showing the Arctic blast video, if you guys can find that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't have that one on my list. So if the crew can find it and play it, is it here? Is this the one that we're looking at on the screen here? Captain Undergotten?
Yes, there it is.
Okay.
Yep, that's the guy.
All right, should we play this with its audio then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
This is just highlights from the Warcast.
Okay, highlights from the Warcast from Captain Undergotten, who can be followed on X at Undergotten. You posted this with the label, weeks and weeks of Arctic blasts have been steered into the U.S. to engineer this ice storm, and you can see it on the weekly weather Warcast. It's obvious. They use satellite microwaves to build walls of clouds and direct the jet stream. So let's watch this video from Captain Undergotten here.
So we will pause our perusal of the time lapse here, where we can see a wall of cloud manipulated by a microwave to create a massive channel to bring Arctic air south and cool the country in an artificially induced winter. It's also worth noting that the cloud changes direction several times as it cuts sharp corners when it encounters different radar bases along the route. And since we're sussing sharp corners, if we look to the right, we can see some in a typical location performing the same aforementioned channeling function. Now, turning our gaze to the west, we witness what happens once the cool air has been injected into the country through that channel. Locking in along typical grid lines, we can see a giant wall of microwave energy pushing the winter weather east to force the chemical cool down like the fan blade on a giant air conditioner. All that cooling comes at a cost, though. As the week progresses, we see the controllers don't care in the slightest if they have to block out the sun for an entire week, as long as their winter illusion is maintained. Record warm temperatures recorded throughout the country, except for right here on the anomalously cold East Coast. Our week begins with a massive blast of cold Arctic air being funneled southeasterly by the forever beam of microwave created by KBIS in Bismarck, North Dakota. Of course, all of the radar bases help create this microwave wall, but that base in particular is the clear leader of the pack, as evidenced by the beams that can always be seen shooting northwest out of that base. This truth is also paralleled by the satellite images where we can literally see geometrically perfect straight walls of homogeneous cloud stretching out for hundreds of miles, clearly wrangled by radar. Staring at this satellite time-lapse, our week begins with another Arctic blast of cold air injected into the lower 48 states by way of KBIS in Bismarck, North Dakota. We saw this last week and will likely be seeing it for the remainder of the engineered winter directed mainly at the eastern United States. Then, as promised in our previous Warcast, the Arctic blasts continue to funnel frigid air by way of the aforementioned microwave wall straight through the lower 48, allowing the globalist energy cabal to continue extracting their petrol dollars as a million thermostats crank up the heat. then things pop back into motion just in time for a massive Arctic blast to come tearing through the country, cooling the clouds to create chemical snow. We've seen this happen nearly every week on the Warcast whenever winter is wanting, as the Earth is obviously too hot now for it to occur on its own.
Wow, it is fascinating. And, you know, one of the upsetting things to me about learning all of this is, like, you can't go outside and go, ah, what a crummy day, darn it. It's like, I can't help but think, like, dang it, they made it a crummy day for me. That it's not just nature.
Yeah, they did this on purpose.
Going on its course, yeah. It's like, no, somebody's doing this to us. I mean, is that where we're at? Is it really, is our weather that controlled at this point?
It certainly would seem so. It's a bit of an obsession for me, so I share your pain there.
Well, okay, to be devil's advocate here for a little bit, or I guess this is just sort of a normal question about the placing of the radars. Did they place these radars in particular these exact locations? Like, was there already sort of persistent weather patterns that they thought, okay, that's a good place to put the radar because that seems to be a leverage point? Because obviously weather is affected. I mean, the classic example would be like a mountain range where clouds will go up to the mountain range. Half of the mountain range on one side is extremely wet and verdant. And on the other side, it's a desert because so obviously the weather gets affected by landscapes and what time of year it is. And maybe the strength of the sun or the power of the electromagnetic field as it fluctuates. Is there a reason these radars were put in these places in particular? And is there any chance that these weather patterns that you're observing are simply natural phenomenon, and they put the radar there, you know, to observe the phenomenon?
Well, so they definitely, like we said before, you know, they didn't reinvent the wheel. They're definitely using natural flows and things like mountains and stuff. But then the proof lies in the fact that, I mean, I don't have a lot of lines on that screen, and yet week after week, everything is locking in. You know, those cloud lines, it looks small on the cell phone here, but I mean, that's 1,000 miles worth of clouds that all locks in geometrically perfectly with this line that I drew last year in February.
Right.
And it just keeps happening. So it's and there's no mountain there. So, you know, there's nothing for it. There's nothing that should be stopping the clouds right there in, you know, corn country.
Right. Right. That makes sense. So help us tie it together. Because the other thing I would wonder is, like, okay, if we're doing this, then I imagine China's doing this. I imagine other countries are doing this. And obviously, your broadcast is called the Weekly Weather Warcast. I mean, are these different weather control systems fighting against each other? Do you think? Is there any outside influence here, or is whoever's doing this to America doing it worldwide? Do you think?
That's a big question, and I don't have the compute power yet, so I haven't really been paying anything but America, because I have, you know, access to this radar data. That's, for me, the most incredible part, is that I'm able to easily make these maps here, where I didn't look too hard, but I didn't have a lot of luck finding radar data for any other country. But that stuff is available. People tag me all the time with, like, look, oh, this happened in Russia here, this happened in China, this, and it's, you can see the exact same configurations and shapes and everything. It looks exactly the same as this, you know? So it's definitely happening all over the world. And I imagine that we're the ones that set that up to begin with. But who's in control of it in, say, Russia, for instance, I couldn't guess.
Yeah, well, it certainly would be an effective way to wage war. I mean, if you can cover, you know, your enemy's ground in snow and freeze their crops or whatever else, it's like, yeah, I would be looking into this type of technology, too, if I was, in charge of protecting the country.
Iran has accused Israel of creating these droughts right on the UN floor, at least according to Dane Wigington. I haven't seen that video yet, but they've been saying that they've been creating droughts in Iran for years.
I wouldn't be surprised at that in the slide. I mean, I mentioned that myself when we're first talking about, you know, Iran experiencing these big riots. People didn't realize part of that, at least, was the fact that they had, like, run out of water. I mean, they had basically gone totally dry. They'd been in a drought situation for a long time. And, of course, it was exactly the same time that Scott Bessent, Treasury Secretary, is bragging about using sanctions to, you know, crush the Iranian economy and force these protests anyway. So the idea that they would also be running a weather modification program isn't out of the question at all, I don't think. So, yeah, maybe that is some common usage. And again, I'm just watching this time lapse, and it's really undeniable. I mean, there are certain radar arrays that just seem to be the center point of the swirls, and it's just crazy.
Yeah.
And it's that one right in the middle there. What is so special about that one? And is there anything, you know, in particular about that radar array that sets it apart from the others?
I don't think so. That's KDLH in Duluth, Minnesota.
Is that Minnesota? It's this one right here, right? So it looks like
guy.
It's
yep.
almost
that's
in Canada.
KDLH. That's Duluth, Minnesota, right on the lake. Yeah. Yeah, that's the center. That's it kind of almost makes up the top of a pentagram shape, actually.
Right. That's a coincidence, I'm sure. I'm sure that's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
And I think we can go to this cloud-based cloud seeding or ground-based cloud seeding video. We can just play it as B-roll. But this is another way that they are, again, we have video of it. It's not speculation. They create clouds on the ground. So we got 2 minutes left here. Wrap it up for us. Captain Undergotten. My guest is Captain Undergotten. You can follow him on X at Undergotten. That's UNDERGOTTEN. And he's got tons of videos about this explaining it all. So if your interest is piqued by this, tons of information on Undergotten's account on X. But sum it up for us here in the last 2 minutes. What do people need to understand about what your research has uncovered?
Well, I mean, without harping on it too much, this is smoking gun evidence. This is, you know, university level stuff that I've done here. You've got the two pieces of data correlating constantly, and I demonstrate that week after week. But I mean, really, the only thing I want to say is that we really ought to try to put a stop to this. And there's a group on X called Reclaim Our Skies, and they're focused on grassroots political action, getting bills passed in every single state to outlaw geoengineering. And so if anybody is interested, I think everybody should join ROS, Reclaim Our Skies on X. You can find it at the top of my page. And there's a lot of good ladies and gentlemen there that are pointing to the right folks and any bills that are being passed in your particular state. So,
you know, that's such a good way to do it, because it's the type of thing that we could never, I can't really see how we could get that over the finish line on the federal level. But states have already passed some of these laws. So I guess that's a good final question. Have those laws being passed, have they had a impact as far as you can observe, or have those not been maybe instituted yet?
Not yet, okay. No. But I mean, you know, we need critical mass. We've only got a few states that have passed the law so far. So once you have enough states, I'd say we've got some clout.
Well, it's very interesting information, and again, as you watch these videos, it becomes undeniable. You may not agree with the conclusions that he comes to, but you can't deny that there's something going on here, and it's worth investigating. And Captain Undergotten is the only one I know who's actually looking into this stuff and looking into it in a very real and thorough way. So go catch his weekly weather warcast on Sundays and follow him on X at Undergotten, UNDERGOTTEN. Thank you so much for joining us today, sir.
Thank you, Harrison. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure is all mine. Stay with us, folks. We're going to be back after a short commercial break with Rex Jones in studio. We're going to take your calls. We're going to talk about the Epstein files and so much more. So a lot to come on today's episode of The War Room.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Minkowitz, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. bodybuilders take as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.